Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Friday, first Friday of May. But it's a Friday, so Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist, is here. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. It feels like it's been a long time since I've seen you.
14 days? That's a long time.
I followed you on your trek across North Dakota from Grafton to Langdon to Devil's Lake, Harvey, Valley. I'll be honest with you, I missed a little bit of Valley City.
All right, well, it's Friday.
But you podcast.
Yes.
You podcast.
Yeah, so, everything on agnews890.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or sign up for the newsletter, and we'll email all of them right to everybody. So.
And it was a fun trip for us to listen to you and, you know, learning about. And, I mean, again, as a fan and as a listener, and I think about some of the – one of the gentlemen was from Central North Dakota, was a state legislator.
Yeah.
And a farmer.
Well, actually, the son of Senator Wanzig is Ryan Wanzig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there a guy from Velva, too?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's Paul Thomas.
Yeah. Yep.
He is got elected to the state legislature. He was the vice president of North Dakota Corn Growers. And he was hoping to wrap it up on Thursday. Didn't quite make it. But Thursday night, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, they finished. So we're 7 days out from the North Dakota legislature being finished. And so Ryan said, yeah, my dad got home 1 o'clock in the afternoon, put him right to work.
Wow. Get to work. Get to work. Yeah. I know
some
you've been doing
work.
A lot in Bismarck. But now this is where we get the fingers dirty a little bit. And I'm one of those guys, like when I was listening to a young man by the name of Klebe.
Okay.
And I think he was from originally like from maybe the Willow City area, rugby.
Yep.
Was he a FFA advisor or extension?
Extension agent for Pierce County up in rugby, yeah.
So then I go on like, that's not a real common last name.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to junior college up in Botno. And there was a Steve Klebe that was from the Willow City area. And I'm like, oh, that's the same. You know, there got to be relatives when I go up. Just like
could
what
be
we
dad. Yeah.
Right. Like what we do in North Dakota when somebody sees the last name Care, they're like, well, we've got to be from southeastern North Dakota. Got to be a relative of Mick.
Yeah, for sure. That's So it is good to catch up with the radio stations that carry the show in all the cities, except for Huron. Sorry, Huron. We'll get to you in the fall. A lot of places are just good to catch up with old friends and just see what they're doing. Man, alive! It was dry last week. Remains plenty dry in a lot of places.
So where are you going next?
I'm going home in about half an hour.
Okay.
I'm an old guy, see, so I got to rest. I'm still resting up from last week's marathon.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt it whatsoever, but you're right. I mean, the dry is the word, and I heard you reference it several times over the last couple months of legitimately praying for rain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the straight up no joking whatsoever, Mick.
Yeah, but the wettest part of North Dakota, though, remains the river valleys and Lake Sakakawea and the confluence of the Yellowstone and the Missouri. This is the first week of May. We've got paddlefish season going on.
Right. Our paddlefish snagging season in North Dakota actually opened up last Saturday. And if people aren't familiar about the paddlefish, the state record paddlefish was taken in 2016. It was 131-pound paddlefish.
Oh, my goodness. So you got to use 30-pound test line.
You got to use 130-pound test line. If you enjoy catching bluegills and crappies and perch and maybe once in a while starting to maybe get into some bass, you like a nice walleye once in a while or a northern pike, how about you take the biggest northern pike that you've ever caught and multiply it about 5 or 6 times?
That would be a thrill.
I've referenced before of think about like standing alongside of the road and the UPS truck comes by and you jump out and try to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not sitting there with
crankbait.
No crankbait. This isn't a bobber and a hook and which I love to do fish with a bobber and a hook and a worm, but this is kind of like using saltwater gear to toss out the Missouri River, the Yellowstone River out near Williston. And then hopefully a little bit of luck and a little bit of timing and snag yourself a prehistoric fish that can grow oftentimes many of them over 60, 70, up to 100, 131 pounds. And that's why you might be listening or living in Grafton or Devil's Lake, Harvey or Fargo or Lisbon or any place from here on across the region, why you have like this cult-like following that says, uh-oh, it's May 1st, it's the 1st of May, we're heading to Williston, we're heading to the confluence of the Yellowstone, the Missouri River, because you have a rare opportunity to snag a paddlefish. We have our paddlefish snagging season scheduled to stay open until May 21st.
However,
we put like a 1,000 fish threshold on that.
Okay.
And yesterday, Thursday, was a snag and release day. Leading up to that, the North Star Caviar Cleaning Station had about 450 fish that had been snagged. Back into a Friday, Saturday snag and keep, if you're doing the math, if you had 450 taken over the first few days, you're going back into a weekend with a snag and keep. Don't say, well, maybe next weekend. Maybe next weekend we'll go up to Williston and our snag ourselves a paddlefish. We can close that season up with a 72-hour notice. And I'll be quite frank with you, on a Friday afternoon, I don't know. That might be something being discussed right now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is we can close the season up, then we can allow an extended snag and release so that if you were planning on going up there, a lot of times people that might say, well, we'll go up there that last weekend, they've already decided that we'd like to snag and release our paddlefish, so it's not that big of a shock. But if you are somebody that wants to make sure if I snag a paddlefish, I get to keep it,
yeah,
then don't say, well, maybe next weekend. This is the time to get up there and snag yourself a fish.
Because the math says odds are, in 7 days, 6 days, it's very possible the could be closed.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, and one of the things you reference, like we still have, you know, the water in the Missouri River and the Yellowstone River, the flows are down. The snowpack was kind of there, but you know, when you talk about like Sakakawea, Missouri, or any of our rivers, whether it's the Red River, the Goose, the Forest River, the Knife River, you have you know, a couple different factors. You have the winter snowpack mm-hmm. and that runoff. You also have the spring rains, which have essentially been non-existent. So they're not getting the average or hoped or, you know, anticipated moisture into the Missouri and the Yellowstone, which means it's been an advantage for the snaggers. Mm-hmm. When you have high flows, it's tougher for the snaggers to find the fish. Now they kind of congregate a little bit more when you have the same reason why you can find fish easier in the springtime in the Red and in the Wild Rice and in the James River, because you have lower flows and more concentration of the fish. So it's actually been a good snagging season for the men and the women that are getting up there trying to grab themselves a paddlefish, Mick.
Now, these are the common named paddlefish. These are sturgeon, right? Or not quite.
They'd be like a cousin.
Oh, okay.
You know, like a cousin to the sturgeon. Ichthyology is the study of fish, meteorology, biology, ichthyology, the study of fish. And Dr. Paterka was my ichthyology professor at NDSU. And I thankfully got a C in ichthyology. Okay. So it's possible they might be closer than cousins, you know, the paddlefish and the sturgeon. But the point is that these are a prehistoric fish.
Dinosaurs were around.
If you talk about when Lewis and Clark came through and there were grizzly bears on the uh-huh. prairie, that and there were paddlefish in the Missouri River. There's still paddlefish in there, but they need the free-flowing stretches of the large primary rivers, a mm-hmm. Mississippi River, a Missouri River is where you're going to find the paddlefish. And so we still have them, but we have the series of dams up and down the Missouri so that you can still find paddlefish in the Bismarck area on the Missouri, but we only allow the snagging in that area of the confluence. It's restricted to a small area. There's a lot of fishing regulations when it comes to paddlefish. Number one is that you have to have a tag to snag paddlefish. You have mm-hmm. to have a tag. So you can't just wake up on Saturday morning and say, we're going to go snag paddlefish on the Missouri River in Bismarck. It's closed in every place but that confluence area. And then The hours are 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. You have to have a tag. So I would encourage people, if you've never been paddlefish snagging, think of it as one of those really rare opportunities.
Maybe go watch this year.
Great idea. Spectating, yeah. Watching. It turns into almost kind of, I don't want to call it like a Woodstock in a negative way. the Deadheads follow Grateful Dead, or the Parrotheads follow it. I mean, like, there's people that go there every year and they camp next to the same spot to their friends, maybe from Grand Forks or maybe from Dickinson, that all gather up there and meet. It kind of turns into a little bit of a tradition, like a deer season. But you're right. Mm-hmm. Go up there, meet some people. They'd love to teach you the ropes. It's open to non-residents. If you're a Minnesota resident, if you're South Dakota, a resident paddlefish tag is like $10. A non-resident is like $25.50.
Oh my!
So it's not a big expensive kind of ordeal. You invest your time and you've got some memories to show for it, Mick.
Cost that much or almost more to take the family to a movie,
yeah,
or something like that.
Right. Yeah, money well spent. Money well spent, Mick.
For sure. Alrighty. And quickly, the industry, the caviar industry out there, exists on that. But is paddlefish meat good to clean them and have them in the freezer?
Yeah, you can. Okay. What North Star Caviar does is they'll clean the fish for you, and then you get to keep the meat. In fact, we can talk a little bit more about that. It's kind of a cool little setup that they have, Mick.
Alrighty. Well, we'll do that then right after this here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. It's a Friday. Doug Lear is here. And, we're hoping for some rain tomorrow out there in the Williston area, and maybe some snow too. So, keep your fingers crossed. And as we mentioned, pray for rain. Back after this on Farm Talk.